You are now tuned in to the Bougie Black Brother Network. I'm Michael, your bougie black brother, and I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hello.
So, Alicia and I, we get an opportunity. We're kind of going back and seeing a couple of movies that we kind of missed out on because pretty much what's in the theater is a lot of trash. So I'm not wasting the money to see trashy movies.
It's only $5.
Yeah, but no, $5 is a little too much. So we're not going there.
We get to go to $5 movies.
Yeah, $5 movies. But we decided it was a good movie that was up for Oscars last year, but it was in the background. So it was like kind of a background type. After the top 10, it was one of them. And it was called Nocturnal Animals.
Yeah, very interesting title.
Nocturnal Animals. So you got... the word nocturnal, meaning in the night and dark, and these animals like owls and wolves and things like that. So, you know, when we looked at it, when I looked at it, you know, I really wanted to see it. And it was basically had our girl Amy Adams on there, who was on Arrival.
Yes.
Which we loved that movie.
Yes.
She was great on there.
Yes.
She was very good on here, too.
Yes, she was.
So, what is this all about? So, here's a little summary. Successful Los Angeles art gallery owner, as an idyllic life, is marred by constant traveling of her husband, which is her second husband. While he is away, she is shaken by an arrival of a manuscript written by her first husband, who haven't seen for years. The manuscript tells a story of a teacher who finds a trip with his family turning into a nightmare. And Susan reads the book, and it forces her to examine her past and confront some dark truths. Pretty generic. Yeah, it's generic. So if you hear that and be like, okay, so it was a book and it was a nightmare and so on and so forth. So the one thing that kind of stood out for me from the beginning as it was moving on, it gave me an Alfred Hitchcock kind of production.
Yes, it was. It was so like that old kind of classy with the music.
Exactly.
Even
the music was like really classic in the Hitchcockian concept, and the wide angles of seeing people walking and the way she walked around,
the extravagant clothes she wore,
elegant,
the way they did the movie, she was an artist,
yeah,
and how you know you look down when he threw the picture down, you seen her pieces laying down because there was. The piece was of fat women, right? And they were dancing and everything. But when it came down to it, at the very beginning, you seen when she was sitting down, you see the fat people laying down next to her. And it was like, so it was like, wow, what an amazing
concept.
Yes. It was just like, how would you, you know, that was an amazing view. Because you thought they were dead at first, you know. But
the way they was laying around.
Yes,
like
exactly.
But it was part of the exhibit that she had and everything. So it just starts off with her and how her life is, and her husband didn't show up to the her opening, I guess. And she's just questioning some things. And a package comes in, and within the package, her assistant opens it up, and it's a manuscript from her ex-husband. And her assistant said, "Who's that?" She said, "Oh, that was my first husband." And everyone is saying throughout the movie, "I didn't know you had an ex-husband."
Yep.
So because she's kind of like scraped it from her life. And her husband is the handsome businessman from New York.
Who's ripping her off and having an affair with somebody else. And yeah, she,
so we jump straight to that.
Well, you know. it was kind of obvious, though.
Well, we kind of figured it out, but we just didn't know how soon it was going to jump in. But he was like, no, I had to work late again, and I got to get this together, and we're losing money. And, you know, all of a sudden, he's just keep taking off and going anywhere. But the big gist of the movie was the manuscript. And what the movie does is it shows you visually what the book was. So it goes through a trip with a man, which we find out the character in her mind looks like her ex-husband. So when you see him, you see her ex-husband. And how do we know that? Well, she start reminiscing while she's reading the book.
Yeah, she goes back in her history.
Yeah, of her relationship with her ex-husband.
Yeah, how she fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. And
how she met him from school, and mm-hmm. then how she was in love with him, had a crush on him, and her brother had a crush on him, and he was gay. And he was like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I should call him. She said, most men would be uncomfortable. He's like, no, I'm good with that.
Yeah, best friend.
Yeah, so that's my best friend, but I haven't reached out.
Yeah, and I mean, storyline was very easy. Well, you know, watching it was easy to understand.
It was easy to go through.
Yeah, easy to go through until you start to understand how the manuscript kind of coincide with her life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the bits and pieces.
Based on her life with him.
Right. And
which was really interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, there was things that came, like she called her daughter mm-hmm. at the very beginning and say, how are you, babe? You know, things are all right. You know, from the first part of the manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
So let's jump to the manuscript. So the manuscript was, again, it's a guy driving down the road with his family. And there's two guys in two cars driving in front of him. And they wouldn't move. So he blow his horn and they move out of the way. And then he just jumps in front of them. And we find three guys in the car. Look like some wild rednecks. But they jump in front of him. And they kind of tease at him. But he tries to get away from him. And then he slams into the back of his car. So they force him off the road. And it's him and his wife and his daughter in the back seat. And these guys get out and said, you had an accident and you should be doing whatever. You should have been calling the cops. You should have pulled over. And so he was chastising him while trying to intimidate him in certain ways. And he was just making him feel weak. He said, you're just weak. You don't tell me what to do. But it eventually, they take his family from him and take off in a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's details within that conversation. But eventually, they try to hide from these guys who's intimidating and grabbing them and groping on them. And the husband is being knocked aside. And they take his family and drive off. And then the guy in his car said, if you want to see your family, drive my car and come with me. And he's like, I have no choice. And he just drives and drives. And they abandon him in an open area.
Yeah.
And just abandon him and leave him. And you see this guy, he's totally confused and like, what the fuck is going on? And you see the terror. I mean, everything is like, oh my God, what's going on? It was just so dramatic. So as you're watching this, and they flip back to her. And then when you flip back to her, you see the terror that she's experiencing while she's reading the book. And then you see her life, and her life is pretty extravagant, and she's alone because her husband's not there, and she goes to the job, and she talks about things that she wants change, and sometimes we should leave things the way they are, and you know, that was a metaphor of her relationship with her first husband.
Yep,
she says, sometimes you shouldn't change things so quickly. You should ride it out and go from there. So it was that. There was small portions within that you see her life, and her life is ruined because she chose a certain life. But when she reminisced about her husband, her ex-husband, her mother, which was played by Laura Linney, was saying, you shouldn't be with this guy. Sooner or later, you're going to get rid of him because that's not who you are. She said, I'm not like you, mother. And she was like, you are absolutely like me.
Yep, that's exactly I wanted to bring that up. Absolutely like me. Yep. She, I mean, and that was so real, because she said, a mom said, every mother or every child is, every daughter is like their mother, you know. At the end, when she was talking to her daughter, and so her daughter didn't want to hear that, you know, and it was sad because you kind of seen how she just, you know, as she was reading the transcript, how she turned herself, as she gradually became her mother, you know, because her mother said, you'll never be happy with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can
sooner or later, you'll change to be like me.
Yeah.
Because I know what you want.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think she even knew what she wanted.
She didn't.
You know.
She didn't. But in a way, even while he was trying to encourage her,
yeah,
she wanted more because she had a family with affluence, and she wanted to be part of that. She just thought she could have them both. But he wasn't being successful. And, you know, there was a conversation between the two of them, and when she was like, you're always writing about you, you know, this isn't good enough. So, again, as she said that, if you think about it, if a person is writing about themselves and you tell them it's not good enough, you telling them they're not good enough.
Yeah, they're not good enough. Yeah.
They're not good enough.
Yeah, because he kept
and she
on.
Didn't get that.
Yeah. Yeah, she was really putting him down.
Yeah.
You know.
And she didn't get that she was putting him down. She was just saying, no, try something else. But she was basically saying, you're not good enough. You need to be someone else. You need to do something else in order to be better. Because what you are right now isn't good enough. And I was like, damn, that's kind of fucked up. But she didn't realize that. And then, you know, she goes back to the book, and then he finds that his daughter and his wife were beaten and raped.
Yeah.
But he's walking around because he hid from them. See, he was still afraid, and he was constantly afraid. And you just saw him. He was afraid. He was afraid. But he loved his family, but he was afraid to do anything. It was almost, he was afraid to even defend them. He just showed the amount of fear. But over the year, after they found out that she was dead, they couldn't find anything relating to it. But he never gave up. And there was a cop that was local there who was played by one of our favorite actors now, Michael Shanahan.
Yes.
Yeah. We saw him the first time, really, that was noticeable in Boardwalk Empire. And he played, I think, the individual who was working for the gangsters. And, yeah, it was like he was really such a weird dude. But he became a hardcore guy after that. And you saw it was like, wow, what the hell? You know, so he was on there. And he played on a couple of other movies, but nothing kind of like standing out to the point that you'll say he's a lead actor. But he's moving into that role because he's doing a lot of good stuff. You know, I saw a Midnight Special. He was on that too. He was with his son, and his son had these special gifts and stuff like that. So he was on there. He was also on Man of Steel, where he was the guy that Superman was fighting. You know, it was okay. He didn't do that great of a job, but yeah, you know, it was pretty good, but a very good actor. But anyway, back to the movie. So he's working with this cop, and this cop is researching these couple of guys that's been doing some crazy stuff over the last couple of months, and then they run into a bank robbery. And so as they run into the bank robbery, they're finding... there's a relationship between these three guys and pretty much what may have happened in the past. Because one was assault and rape, and then the other ones with some miscellaneous stuff. And so he found one of them. Then they switch back to her. And once again, she's alone, but she calls her husband. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And she calls her husband, and she was like, when you landed, you supposed that gave me a call. And he was like, it was 2 a.m. I didn't think I was going to call. And then he said 31. She was like, boy, you going to 31? Why are you going to the 31st floor? He said nothing was available. And while he was talking on the phone and they were talking, the elevator attendant said, 31, ma'am. And she just freezes. And then she realized that this guy, her husband, the guy she left her ex-husband for has been cheating on her and using her.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what's the problem? She's like, no problem. Just get some sleep. And she let it go. And then she went right back to the book.
It's almost like she was hoping that her and her first husband can build that relationship right after that happened. Because she started to read the book and starting to feel guilty or some kind of connection with him, the book, and her, and her loneliness.
So, yeah, I think so. I think she felt, if I appreciated this book, I can get back with him so we can just rekindle something that we once had.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't mean she was going to leave her husband, but she can at least say to him, oh, wow, I appreciate this. It's just so, because she, remember, she sent an email to him and said, this is an amazing book, and yeah, I would love to meet. And he said, yeah, Tuesday will be fine. Tell me when and where.
Right, right. I think that, didn't he email her first?
No, he emailed her first. But then when she returned the email, because she was reading it, she didn't really respond until she...
Finished a
portion. She wasn't done with the book yet before right. she actually agreed to meet with him with the first part. And then when he said... maybe it was. Maybe I got him confused. She could have emailed him more than once, but yeah, she was just saying, this is just so tragic. But the movie went on, you know, so I didn't think it was the ending, but maybe I got confused. But
her visual of it was very, I mean, like the book, the transcript?
Yeah,
the manuscript mm-hmm. was so vivid because they made it a movie within the movie while she was reading the transcript.
Yeah. Yes. So the book was a movie in itself.
Right.
Within what she was reading.
Right. So that's what made it so interesting, because she wasn't just you were thinking she was reading this transcript, but really what they was doing is they had the transcript while she was reading it. They went right into where it was a movie kind of transcript where you visually seen what was going on while she was reading it. So the one thing that you know was with the characters was that the three guys that were harassing them or who forced them off the road was also harassing other people.
Right.
So
right.
when you first seen it, you seen them side by side beside another car. So from there, you know, after going back, you say, okay, they are harassing these people too. Whoever they were side by side with, they were harassing them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But because he came behind them and said, well, if y'all asses don't move, because I'm driving and I need to get to where I'm going, and they move out of the way, and then they started harassing them.
Yep.
And so that's, and because when the police officer came back, he's like, well, they wasn't just harassing you. A couple of days later, he said, they've been harassing other people as well. We were trying to find them. And so, they never got to find them right away.
No, not right away. It was like over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Over a year that they really kind of caught up with them in that way.
But, yeah, because it was hard to find them. And it was just, it was sad how, you know, when they found his wife and daughter,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were like laying on, you know, they were like.
It was on a couch, kind of like intertwined yeah, together, we, yes. but laying right beside each
naked,
other.
Naked. Yeah. And it was like. He seen them because they both found them, mm-hmm. and he was like, "Are they dead? Are they dead?" You know, and it was interesting because when you think about it, it's like because when we finally figure out you know the whole story of it, mm-hmm. it's interesting how he felt within the book, and then the one thing you didn't mention was with the first husband, she was pregnant.
Yeah, she got pregnant.
Yeah, and so they were supposed to have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I can't do it no more with him. Or,
but I don't think he knew, though. Or if he did knew.
He knew.
He didn't. I think he did knew. So now that I'm talking through it, he knew. That's why he was at the abortion clinic. Otherwise, why would he be at the abortion clinic?
Yeah, yeah.
So he did knew, but he just didn't realize that she would go through it.
Yeah, she would go through it.
And she's there in the
arms. Because she didn't want him to
guy.
Know, remember? She's like, I don't want him to know. And she was, because, you know, she met the second husband. In college.
In class, yeah, in college.
And I was like, oh, yeah, there's an issue there. And so.
But he was there with her doing their abortion.
Yeah.
They was in a parking lot.
Right.
And she, in the car.
Right, right.
And she's in this guy's arm and he's standing in front of him like, what the fuck?
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And they were married.
Yeah. So then it was like, oh, well. And then it just moves on.
Yeah, it's just like he disappeared.
Yeah.
He disappeared from her life and disappeared. And it's like she, you know, she was not happy. You know, it's like she was trying to find something in her life to be happy besides calling her daughter to see if she's all right. And well, like she's being in the bed by herself nothing. And reading this manuscript by herself. And I, like I said, I really think that in the time she was reading that manuscript, she was trying to find that connection, you know, to her first husband.
Well, I think she did, because if you think about it, she used to read his other stuff and said, you need to do something totally different. This was different. And it made her, I think, go back and say, wow, this is what he was capable of. If I was with him, without saying it, you can see that she was thinking back on her life to say, what would have made him do this without me? And because it was almost like she was questioning her existing life because of this manuscript.
Right. But then again, you know, like her second husband said, hey, it's been over 19 years since you talked to him.
Yeah.
You know, so all of a sudden, you know, she said, well, I did reach out to him a couple of years ago.
But he didn't
respond.
Right.
But, you know, the pain of what he went through, because through the movie, he really loved her.
Oh yeah, he did.
He really, because for him to have suffered the way he did, he really loved her. And I don't think she understood just what she didn't understand what she really done to him.
And she never reconciled that. She just moved on. And she didn't realize, like he told her, you're better than what you're thinking. You're better than that. And she's like, no, I'm not. So she thought, if I get the handsome husband, the highfalutin job, the big house, all of that, my life would be fine. Because that's really all that it takes. And she said, remember, she had a conversation with her husband. Or no, not a husband. That guy that was at the house party. And she was like, I don't want to do this. I don't like doing this. She didn't even like the art that she was doing.
Yeah, she didn't.
She just said, I don't like doing this. And he was like, we all don't like doing this, but some things you got to do because you can. And he kind of like told her, deal with it. But she was, you can see that she was just unhappy.
Yeah, she was unhappy.
But it was just it was sad. You know what I mean? And that's why it made me think of those, you know, what is the Hitchcock, Rebecca, and a couple of other ones, that these women that has the ability to be rich and famous and all of that, but yet they weren't happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd just go around and go doing different stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So it was really, really interesting. And the way it was directed and the elegance of her portion was like really, really amazing. I really enjoyed it.
It really was elegant the way they dressed her, the way she flow her hair, you know what I'm saying? The art, the
camera work, or where they focused on certain things, and you know, it was just really, really elegant. I just thought it was really, really cool.
So the ending. Okay.
So after she read the book, and you see her in her loneliness, and she went back.
And she emailed him.
And she emailed him.
Let's set up a date.
And he said,
let's have for dinner.
Yep.
And she's like, he said, no problem. Where, time and date. No place. He said, time and place. Time and place.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gave him a time and place. And
she showed up.
And she was like, oh, the way she wanted to make sure she looked, you know, elegant, or you know, too much lipstick, let me take that off.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to look presentable, I would say.
Yep.
Elegant but presentable. Mm-hmm. And she walked up in there with smiles and all excited.
And ordered a drink.
And ordered a drink, yes, yes.
Then ordered a drink.
Another one.
then ordered a drink.
Yes, sure
and
did.
People start leaving the restaurant.
And you see her face.
Yeah.
And she was hurt.
And she realized, this is what he did to me because of what I did to him. This was his revenge to say, now you have nothing. And this is what you missed. Because you really thought, because I think he knew if she would come to see him, it was because she wanted to see him. And she really felt that this was something that she had to have. Nope. He was like, my revenge is, your life is miserable. And I was able to do something that you didn't think I was capable of doing. And you hurt me. And I'm showing you all the hurt that I went through my manuscript.
Yeah, because so going back to the manuscript was him and his wife and daughter dying. So she got an abortion for the daughter, mm-hmm. which killed his daughter.
Killed his daughter.
And then she died when she left him.
And when she left him. So they both died and he couldn't get over it. It was hard for him to get over. And he wanted revenge.
Yes, he wanted revenge. And so the kind just of revenge. Like
he wanted revenge for the man that took her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows in reality that's just illegal. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereby in most movies, he would have probably came after him and probably went to jail.
Yeah, but the revenge is against her because she really did not care.
Yeah.
She didn't show no kind of remorse for what she did to him.
None. Yeah.
So, it took 19 years to get it, but he got it back all right.
And he got it right. So regardless, she'll read through that and she'll always know you hurt me to this point and you're dead to me. You killed my daughter and you died.
And so, you know, at the end of the manuscript, he shot. They killed both of the people who killed his wife and daughter mm-hmm. from the manuscript. And then the last guy who raped his daughter, they were in the trailer.
Yeah, he raped her in.
And he said he admitted he did it. Mm-hmm. And then he shot him twice, but the guy was able to pick up the crowbar and hit him over the head. Mm-hmm. So he was out cold until he woke up and found out that he did kill the guy. And he picked up the gun mm-hmm. and he walked out the trailer, you know, staggering, you know, and tripped and
shot himself.
Yep.
So I don't know if he tripped and shot himself or did he just really shoot himself?
It looked like he tripped and shot himself because he couldn't see himself. He couldn't see. He barely could walk out the door. I think he was trying to get to the car.
I just think it was all over because even he really didn't want to shoot him. He didn't want to kill him.
No, he didn't want to kill him.
Yeah, he wanted them dead, but he didn't want to kill them. And, you know, all throughout there, it was like, this guy's just so fucking weak.
Yeah, he really was.
And to the end, it was almost like, not only did you not want to kill him, are you that weak that you trip and kill yourself? Or are you so regretful that all of this went on that you just didn't want to live?
So very good.
So I didn't really look at it that deeply because I was like, what the fuck? So I wanted to know what happened between her and her ex-husband.
Right.
So I didn't look at it as closely as I usually do. But I kind of thought, damn, fucking shot himself. He was that regretful that his life is just fucked up. The people that killed his family and his family's dead. And the guy that helped him, he had cancer.
Right, he was dying of cancer. He was going
to fucking die within a year.
Yeah, he was dying of cancer.
But why should I live?
Right.
Or are you that weak and miserable that you would trip over yourself and kill yourself?
Well, I think that when he did that, that was him saying it's over for himself. The anger, the hate, the
so that's why
the
pain. I think that's why he killed himself.
Because he said, you're not going to do this to me no more. So when he shot himself, it was that pain was over between him and his ex-wife.
Yeah. So I'm going to take away the pain.
Right, right.
The me living through this longer, that pain is done.
Right, exactly. You
know? So that's why I kind of thought maybe he did kill himself. You got to look at the details on that. But
everybody's going to take it from a different perspective from watching the movie. But the movie was very, very good because you know, because when it ended, you was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
What the hell happened? happened?
So you kind of thought through
what
it.
What the hell?
Like, oh, yeah, he did it because he just didn't want to see her, you know.
And you think that she was going to get up and go. That's what that would be the ending. But no.
She stood there.
She sat there still
she
drinking.
She regretted her life.
Yep.
So she knows she regretted her life.
Yep. Yep.
The things that she did, she hurt him, and she regretted her life. So you kind of looked at it like, eh, okay, I get it. But, yeah, pretty good movie. It was a really good movie. So, again, you throw that into the bundle of Oscars. Yeah, eligible. Eligible movie.
No, it was a nominee. It should have been nominated. It was
a very eligible movie for the nomination.
Yeah, but
I think they went against a lot of heavyweights.
Yeah, it did.
Went against a lot of
heavyweights. It did. But it was really good.
It was very good. So the other one is Hell and High Water.
Okay.
I didn't see that one yet, and we got to see that one. So, and that was some great acting there, but we didn't get to see that one. But this was the one that they kept saying, you got to see it, you got to see it. Some people whoever I talked to, and I was like, it doesn't sound interesting. And if you look on the surface, it really didn't. You know, she's reading a book and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, okay. But when I saw it, I was like, very well scripted. So the thing is, the person who actually did the movie, if you didn't know, his name is Tom Ford. Why does he sound familiar?
Yeah, the name does sound familiar.
He's a designer.
Really?
Yeah, the Tom Ford line. He's a fashion designer.
Okay.
But he does movies as well.
Oh. I think I've seen him on one of the talk shows, the morning shows.
Yeah, he's one of the hottest men clothing line. It's Tom Ford. So he was I think did he write it? Or I know he did the screenplay, but I'm not sure if he directed it or not. But yeah, he did the screenplay for it. So, which was really interesting. That's a great screenplay, you know. Rotten Tomatoes had it at 74, and IMDb.
Yes, I seen him. He was on the Today Show talking about. He probably was talking about this movie, and right, he is a designer, and he was talking mess about that fool Donald Trump. That was so funny.
Yeah. Well.
But yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
No, he directed it too. He did the screenplay and directed it. Wow. So pretty amazing. So he did a really good job. He's only had two movies that I see. So it's not like he has a great resume that you can go back and say, well, he did this amazing movie. He did one called Single Man. And I think that was back in 70. No, in 2009.
Right, 2009.
Yeah, so
and they gave it high rating too.
Yeah, yeah, that was with Colin Firth, college professor who recently lost his lover Jim in a car accident. Terribly grief stricken, George plans to commit suicide. As he goes about his daily routine and puts his affairs in order, he encounters with colleagues, students, and old friends. Blah 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 blah. But this one was really good, and I just again, the feel of it was really, really amazing. And that's why I really enjoyed the feel of the whole thing. But well worth a look. So if you passed this up in the past, and I know we had our Oscar movie thing, but we didn't see that one in Hell and High Water. And we're not looking at, what's that, Heartbreak Ridge or whatever?
I don't know the name of it.
We're not seeing that one. That's that Mel Gibson movie that...
I can't stand
the anti-Semitic, calling black people niggers and all of that. I'm not seeing any of this stuff.
Sorry.
So, not on my agenda. So, if everyone said, but it's a great war movie, I'll let it be great in your eyes. So, we're pretty good. But
yes, definitely.
Go see this. This is, you can rent it now. It's, if you see it, I think it's on Amazon. Yep. For $4.99 and Google Play and iTunes for $14.99. No way in hell, right? And YouTube for $4.99. So it's a good one. If you can get it on what's that, Redbox?
Yeah, Redbox.
It's a really, really good movie too. It's a slow burn, but it's really dramatic. The book portion is really dramatic, but the complete movie, it's really shows that that slow burn of her life and her thoughts and everything. So it was like almost three different perspectives in one movie. It was her life, her past life, and the book.
And
it showed all three, but it blended together so well. So really, really worth it. Very, very worth it. Cheryl, Urban Wine Life Cafe. Urban Lifestyle Cafe. I'm doing the wines coming up soon. So look out for that wine. Urban Lifestyle Cafe. Leisha, any last words on this? I mean, what your thoughts on it and everything?
No, other than what we said. It's a very good movie. I definitely recommend somebody seeing it. But remember, if you're, I mean, it's going to be somewhat over some people's heads. When it comes down to understanding the movie and how it kind of blends in with the people characters into the movie. So it's a very good movie if you definitely have the
taste.
If you're a film person.
Yeah, if you have the taste for seeing
movies. Who said that? We were watching somebody said, if you're a film person. If you're a film person.
You're not movies, but film. Yeah.
So definitely, you know, something to watch.
So great. So bougieblackbrother.com and what is that? Coffee Women in Tech?
Yay.
Did it right, yay.
Coffee Women in Tech.
Fine Black Woman and IG and Twitter, BLK, Fine Black Woman. So make sure you check us out there as well as Bougie Black Bro on IG and Twitter. So thanks for stopping by. We going to see We're going to see Spider-Man next week. So it's being released today on Thursday. We're not going to be able to see it, and we skipped the whole weekend.
There was another movie that came out we wanted to see.
Oh, Baby Driver.
Yes, we got to go see Baby Driver.
Yeah, Baby Driver.
I'm a car kind of person.
That one seems exciting. So those two is on our agenda, and there's a couple other ones throughout the month that we're going to get to go see. But you will be seeing those, and you'll probably hear this podcast in the middle of the month. So thanks so much for stopping by on Urban Lifestyle Cafe.
Goodbye.
Later.